Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 3. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. There's one right there in the pew rack in front of you. The red hardbound books are in English. The black leather ones are in Korean. Go ahead and grab the one that works for you, Acts 3, or maybe you've got a phone and you'd like to turn over to YouVersion or Takata or your favorite Bible app. We're going to be in Acts 3 today. We are in a series called The Unstoppable Church. The Church of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. Our theme verse is Matthew 16 and verse 18. It's when he was speaking to Peter and he said, "Thou art Peter." And he said, "And upon this rock I will build my church," speaking of himself. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's a very confusing thing, but it's a term because we're thinking that Peter's the foundation of the church. That's not true. Because that's, you look in 1 Peter chapter 2, you see who Peter says is the rock. He is the stone that was rejected by the builders. But he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It will be an unstoppable church. So take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 3. We're doing a series here in the book of Acts, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Yes, the book of Acts is a history book, but it is also our operations manual. It's the book that tells us how church ought to be done. Why? Because this is how the apostles did it. The people who walked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, traveled with Jesus, heard him speak, this is how they did church. And so that's why the book of Acts is such a wonderful book. Now, as is our custom, I'll read the odd numbers out loud, and you'll read the even. So here we go. If you found Acts 3, say amen. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And certain men lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by that right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch," that is called Solomon, "greatly wondering." Let us pray. Our Father and our God, speak, for thy servants are listening. Holy Spirit of God, we ask that you'd write it upon our hearts, that you would stir us, O God, stir us and show us your glory today. And Father, we pray that you would work in and through the Word of God. Whether they're here watching, or here locally, right here now, or watching on the internet, God, if there's one among us that's lost, I pray, God, today they'd be saved. And for us, your children, God, strengthen us. Speak, O God, your servants are listening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been looking at the book of Acts, you will see that the Church of Jesus Christ, which I tongue-in-cheek call the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, was an unstoppable church. It was birthed by Jesus Christ, I believe, in Luke chapter 6, when he chose the apostles. Why do you believe that? Well, because 1 Corinthians 12:28 says the first church was the apostles. It was built by Jesus Christ. That's what he said in Matthew 16:18. But I think he's sitting there on the temple, on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's teaching them. And it also says by parables, he taught them many things. He built the church. He also bought the church, Matthew 27 and verse 26. He bought the church on Calvary. He went there with the express purpose. That's why when Peter was in the garden and wanted to cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, Jesus said, "Put it away. Don't you know that I could now call 12 legions of angels and I could destroy this world?" But it's just as he prayed, he said, "It's not my will, but it's the Father's." That's what he was doing. So Christ birthed the church. He built the church. He bought the church. But then in Acts 2, he empowered the church. And he commissioned it in Acts 1, where he said, "Now ye shall be witnesses unto me here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." They had a clear vision of their purpose. That's one of the reasons why they were unstoppable. They knew what their job was. They knew what they were supposed to do. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they knew their king was coming back soon. That's what the angels told them there in Acts chapter 1. As they're standing there gazing at the sky. Remember that message? We looked at it a couple of weeks ago. And the angel said, this same Jesus will come in like manner as you've seen him go. That means he's coming back. The church was unstoppable. Are you part of Christ's unstoppable church? Starts by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? I'm not talking about you having some crisis event in the past that you look back to. I'm talking about the present reality that you are a born-again believer, that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that the Holy Spirit resides in you. This is a present salvation, not a past crisis that you went through. Do you remember when you got saved? I mean, I wasn't there. You were. It starts by being saved. Number two, you become a member of Christ's unstoppable church at baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And they were added unto them 3,000 souls. Think about that. What were they added to? Can't add to something that's not there. It's added. Are you a part of the church? Now look, the book of Acts, I was doing a Bible study this week with a precious family, and she speaks Spanish, so The book of Acts is hechos. Hechos, is that right? Hechos is how you say that in Spanish? It's the book of Acts. It's almost like being made. This is how the apostles did things. This is our history book, but it's our operations manual. And as we saw last week, we see our methods from the Word of God, which is Bible preaching. We see our message, which is the gospel. In every one of these sermons that Peter preached, you find the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Why? Because the gospel is what saves. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, it's the gospel that saves. So we find our method, our message. We also find our mission, which is evangelism. Go into all the world and preach the gospel is in Mark, but in Acts 1 he said, you'll be a witness. You'll testify of me is what he's talking about. And then we find our ministry, which is discipleship. People teaching other people. So as we get into the message today, we find Christ's unstoppable church at Jerusalem reaching people, preaching the gospel, and teaching others to do the same thing. But something very interesting happens here in chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, Jews would pray at 9 a.m., at noon, and at 3. If you were devout, that's what you did. You prayed. You took time and you prayed. But it's interesting that Peter and John went to the temple. Now, you think to yourself, well, they're born-again believers. They're Christians. They're part of the Church of Jesus Christ, the unstoppable church. Why do they go to the temple? Why do they still do that? Because, listen, no matter how long you've been a Christian, you need to be fed. You need to have a walk with God. Where else were they going to hear the Word of God? They didn't have copies like this back then. If they were going to hear the Word of God, they were going to go to the synagogue, or since they were in Jerusalem, they were going to go down to the temple, and they were going to listen to a man pull out the scrolls and read the Word of God out loud. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. I don't care how long you've been saved, you need to walk with God in His Word. You need to walk with God. You cannot teach what you do not do, and you cannot give what you do not have. What does your daily spiritual workout look like? Do you have a daily spiritual workout with God? Where you get the Word of God out and you read, and then you let the Word of God get in you, not just through your mouth and read it, but get in you? I like to chew gum. Anybody in here like chew gum? We appreciate it when you chew the minty stuff because it makes the world a better place to live. Right? Isn't that how that works? I love it. I'll walk up to people sometimes and I'll say, here, I insist. You ever do that at work? Don't do that at work. Smile, wink, go. I'm not kidding, really. And hand it out. I like to chew gum. And my preacher, he hated people who chewed gum. He'd always give me grief. And my preacher would say, you look like a cow chewing his cud. You ever watch a cow? You sit down. I can chew a piece of gum all day. Man. I one day did a test to see how long I could chew gum. I chewed this piece of dentine for 8 hours until it finally disintegrated in my mouth. There is a time limit on gum. All right? Except for when you stick it under a desk or a chair, then it lasts forever. It's like God's super glue. But anyhow, you chew on it and you just run it over in your mouth over and over again. You're constantly just running over it again. That's what Bible meditation is like. You take a piece of the scriptures. We're reading your Bible and say, God, I'm listening. And you read and something jumps out at you. And you take that piece of Bible. You take that verse and you chew on it all day long. You think about it. You run it over in your mind over and over and over again. Saying to yourself, saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, what are you trying to say to me? What are you saying to me? Is this a promise I need to claim? Is this a command I need to follow? Is this a sin I need to avoid? What are you saying here, Lord? And you just chew on that all day long. What is your spiritual workout like? You think, Peter, you just preached. I mean, on Pentecost, Peter goes to Joel chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, pulls a text out and starts preaching. Man, he throws down on those folks, gives them the gospel. 3,000 people get saved. Woo, glory, everything's great. He still went to church the next day. He still went to church. Why? Because he needed the preaching. He needed the word of God. You can't give what you don't have. And you cannot do. You can't teach what you don't do. So let me ask you, I mean, do you need to walk with God? Peter and John, man, they're apostles. These guys are awesome. They needed a walk with God. Do you? Do you have one? What is it you do? It says they went up to the temple. They went up there to hear the word of God. You just don't realize what you miss when you miss church. You just don't realize what you miss. The Bible says that we assemble to encourage one another, to provoke one another to love and good works. That you are there to be encouraged and provoked unto good works by the person sitting next to you, and you're doing the same to them. You are encouraging them. You're lifting them. Paraclete is the word for the Holy Spirit. It means to come alongside and lift somebody up. You know, there's somebody in this congregation today who needs somebody to come alongside and lift them up. Say, it's going to be all right. Did you have a good week? Listen, let me pray with you. I love you. I'm so glad to see you. The sermon you need is the sermon you missed. And yes, I'm so excited about all the people who watch us on the internet, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful, and I'm so glad that that's a blessing to you, especially you folks who travel so much with your job. But it just doesn't beat being here, does it? Because the people you're with are the people who encourage you. Yeah, Peter and John, the great apostles, they went to the temple even after Pentecost, not because they needed Judaism to make them right with God, but because they needed the word of God to stay right with God. And then it says here in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. Now I want you to stop here for a second. In Acts 4, it tells us that this man is above the age of 40. But what do we know about him? We don't know his name, but he's lame. That means he cannot walk. Lame from his mother's womb. Do you realize what that means? That this man, when he was born, had no ability to walk. That he didn't go outside and play with the other kids when the other kids played. He did not get to walk with his family to and from the temple. He did not get it. He was not able to do the things that other children were able to do. The Bible says in verse 7 of this chapter that he had his feet and ankle bones needed strength. He had one area of weakness, one area where he needed strength, and it was disabling him from his life. This one area where he was weak, he couldn't walk and run like others. He couldn't play. Do you have an area in your life, a weakness, an area where you need strength that is keeping you from walking as you should as a Christian? This one area of weakness deprived him of life. Do you realize the fact that he was never, even though he couldn't walk, that means he couldn't work either. How many of you were raised in the family business? Oh man, you're kidding me. You're not teaching your family what it is. I was raised in the family business. My dad was a body man, a mechanic. That means as soon as I could walk, I have to go out and pick up grease rags and shake them out. I had to wipe off tools and hang them up on the pegboard where Dad had the outlines. And I had to sweep up the oil dry. Now, oil dry is just glorified cat litter. That's all it really is. And you put it under a car and it catches. Oh, but I had to do that. That means the dad could not teach this boy his occupation. He could not walk. He couldn't. Are you teaching your kids anything? You need to teach your kids now what it is you know. You say, well, I don't know much. Well, then teach them what you do know. Do they know how to sew on a button? Do you know how to fix a pop seam? I've talked about this before. If they can run an iPhone 8, they can run a vacuum and a washing machine and a dishwasher. Isn't that right? They got buttons and lights and they make noise. Sounds like a video game to me. This man could not walk. This man could not work. And because he could not walk or work, he was not able to wed. He was not able to get married and have children. This one area of weakness deprived him of his life. Look at verse 2 again. And it says, was carried, whom they laid daily. That means this one area of weakness made him dependent on others. He had to depend on others for his life and his livelihood. He was defenseless. He had to rely on other people. He had this area of weakness, this one area where he needed strength that was keeping him from the abundant life God was promising. Do you have an area of weakness? One area that is keeping you from being successful, spiritual, sanctified, or serving? Do you have an area of weakness that is depriving you of the abundant Christian life? Do you have an area where you have to rely? Are you relying right now on somebody else's faith? I mean, God forbid. Our Heavenly Father has no grandchildren. You are either God's child or you're not. Because you can't rely on your mama's faith to get you to heaven. You cannot rely on your grandpappy's faith to get you to heaven. You can't rely on your wife's faith to get you to heaven. This is a personal thing. This is between you and the Lord. This man was reliant upon other people because this one area of weakness in his life had robbed him from the ability to walk, to work, to wed. This one area of weakness also displaced him his entire life from worshiping. Look at verse 2. He was laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. This is the Corinthian gate. It was beautiful because this huge gate was covered with panels of gold and silver. What they do is they take molten gold or molten silver and they pour it out on a large steel table or table, and it would pour out like a plate. And they'd hand hammer it and make it smooth and get it. And then they would form it around the stonework, and it was gorgeous, and around the wood. So imagine the sun coming up over the Mount of Olives and hitting that gold and silver plate, and it would just reflect. It would be blindingly beautiful. And he would lay at that gate. But he was never allowed to go in. You see, in Leviticus chapter 21, verses 17 through 21, God commanded that people who were lame were not allowed to come and worship. Crooked back or flat-nosed, broken-footed, broken-backed. They weren't allowed to come in and worship at the altar. You see, this one area of weakness had this man on the wrong side of the gate. This one area of weakness was keeping him from going in to the presence of God. This one area, he was on the wrong side of the gate. Are you on the wrong side of the gate today? It's the Lord Jesus Christ who refers to himself as the door. He's the one that gives us access to God. Are you on the wrong side of the gate today? Are you in this area where your area of weakness is you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because in pride, you're hiding and saying, no, I'm good, I'm covered. I got me and God, we got a thing. You know, God don't make deals. You can't make deals with God. God don't bargain, God don't play. God said, this is how it is. I love you. I love you so much, I'm going to make my son take your place. They're going to do terrible things to him. And he's going to die. Should have been you. Titus 3:5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. That's him not giving me what I rightfully deserve. How about that? Are you on the wrong side of the gate today? The Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You're lost. You're spiritually crippled by sin. You're unable to worship, unable to walk with God, unable to work for God. This could be your day when you're healed. This could be your salvation day. If you'll trust the Lord as your Savior, and the gate will open. Look at verse 2 again. He's at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. The wrong side of the gate, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. All he could do was beg. All he could do, backsheesh, backsheesh. alms for the poor is what they would say. Backsheesh, backsheesh. An alms was you giving an offering, something for them to live on. Now, think about it for a second. This man could see. This man could hear. This man could think. This man could talk. This man could sit up. He could use his arms. Backsheesh, backsheesh. But this one area where he needed strength, keeping him from the abundant Christian life, made him a beggar. And the truth is, you and I, we're all just beggars at the gate when it comes to that one area of our life. That one area we want, we need strength. That one area where we need God in His grace to empower us, because it's depriving us of our joy. It's depriving us of our walk with God. We cannot worship God like we should. Why? Because we have this area of weakness and we're on the wrong side of the gate. If you'll confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you're like, preacher, you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, I have this addiction, or I have this problem, or I'm angry all the time, or I have unforgiveness, or I have bitterness. Listen to me. The chain breaker in the Bible is Galatians 5:16. It says, if we walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You want to break that chain? You want to be free? You want that one area of weakness to be strengthened? You want to get on the right side of the gate? Then you need God to embrace you with His power. Now, the truth is, he was looking to Peter and John for financial gain. Look at verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Now, he was needing more than just physical strength, right? He was needing more. And it's incredible. It's incredible. We think money's going to fix everything. But it doesn't. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. That's a powerful thought. Think about it for a second. This man has been coming to that gate for as long as he could sit up and beg. And people just walk by him all day, every day. They walk by him, they don't even acknowledge he exists. They don't want to be bothered with it. Or I gave to him last year, or I gave him to him last month, and they don't see him anymore. They don't acknowledge him. So he shouts louder, backsheesh, backsheesh. I have an area of weakness. I need this. Help me. They don't acknowledge him. Remember the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar? Sarah was the wife who was going to give the baby of promise that God had promised. But they got impatient and they took Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid, and gave her to Abraham to wife. And through her, she birthed Ishmael, the father of the Arabic people. Well, in the course of time, her and Sarah got to scrapping, and she ran away. And God said to her, Hagar, what are you doing? And she told the story about how she wasn't favored and how she wasn't loved, and he said, go back. And she referred to God as, thou God who seest me. This handmaiden, this nothing more than really a slave, God, who sees me. Maybe today you don't think God's looking. You think you're that guy at the gate and God is not paying attention to you. God just walks by you every day and blesses somebody else, and you think God doesn't see you. I'm here to tell you, He's the God who sees you. He never just ignores you. He sees you. Oh, the God that sees me. Peter and John weren't too busy in their daily agenda to see this man. They were not too busy to acknowledge the existence of one who was just needing strength. Just needing strength. That's all that was keeping this man from walking and working and wedding and worshiping. That's all that was keeping him. It's just one area. Is there people around you right now? You're saved, you know it, but basically you live your life like they don't exist. Do you just walk by them in their spiritual need and just, they don't exist? It doesn't matter. They don't exist. Do you realize God didn't leave you in Virginia like you're a set of car keys? He has you here for a purpose. Huh? You're here for a purpose. And it's not to ignore the people around you. but to regard them. Look what it says here. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He had become dependent for everything. I hope you're not dependent on someone else's faith to bring you to church. I hope it's your walk with God. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Now, the thing is, this man's need was greater than money. Now, Ms. Mix and I, we've been together 31 years this coming. I met you, June 10th, I think it was, I met you. 31 years ago, we've been going out. Been married 29 years, June 17th, 1989. I remember. And the thing is, we've been together a long time. Long time. But back when we were first married, I had this saying I love to say all the time. I used to say, Brother Kevin, you wouldn't believe this, but I used to say, I don't have a problem in the world $100 wouldn't fix. Somebody would walk up to me and say, how you doing? I'd say, I don't have a problem in the world $100 wouldn't fix. Of course, then the first baby come along and inflation, and then I started to say it. Brother Curtis, I'd say, well, I haven't got a problem in the world $1,000 wouldn't fix. You know what I'm saying? Well, with inflation and current property values here in Alexandria, I haven't got a problem in the world $10,000 just wouldn't fix. You don't fix problems by throwing money at it. If you ever watch that documentary on the lottery winners, it destroys their life. Destroys them. Why? Because money is a natural limiting factor in your life. If you like to drink, when you run out of money, you don't get to drink anymore. If you like to take drugs, when you run out of money, guess what? That's not run by the Boy Scouts. They're not a charitable organization. You don't get to do drugs anymore. If you like to gamble, MGM Grand is going to escort you to the door if you don't have any money. It's a natural limiting factor. Money doesn't fix things. This man had become dependent, and he thought, just a little more money, just a little more money. Maybe that's your area of weakness today. Maybe you think, if I'll just break rank again, if I'll just get another promotion, if I'll just jump to this agency, or I'll jump to this job, or I'll go to this, or if we can move to here or there, and it's all I'll need, and we'll be able to circle these plates a little longer financially, and we'll be, that's all I need. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, your need is greater than just a little bit more money. And as this man looked at Peter and John, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. My brothers and sisters, grace and blessings are priceless. What you need is the blessings of God and the grace of God more than you need money. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, this is the first recorded miracle of an apostle after the ascension. He lifted him up, and immediate healing, his feet and ankle bones received strength. You plus God is a majority. I don't care what it is. Instead of throwing money at it, let's throw God at that problem. You know, God is reaching down to you today. Whatever area of weakness you're struggling with, it could be unforgiveness, it could be pride, it could be an addiction, it could be anything. But God is reaching down to you today, brothers and sisters, and he will lift you up and he will strengthen you in that area if you'll give that area to him. He said in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Look at verse number 8. Immediate healing. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. This is the first time since he drew breath that he walked and that he would go into the temple of God's presence. This would be the first time. He leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This beggar became a believer. This pauper became a possessor. And this peasant became a prince with God. How long has it been since you got that excited about getting to go to church? How long has it been since you got that stoked about going inside? Huh? That's what I love about children's ministry. Man, kids love coming to church. And I love it because with our kids' ministry, it's so wonderful that the little kids are, we going to church today, aren't we, Daddy? Are we going to church today, aren't we, Mama? Aren't we going? And the little kids are excited and they come and they wrap their arms around my leg and they're like, I'm so glad to see you. I'm glad to see you too. It's awesome. How long has it been since you've been that excited about worshiping God? We get to go to church. Huh? I know what it's like sometimes. It's like raising the dead sometimes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I got teenagers. You just want to get an AED and come here. You know, and wake them up. Come on. Let's go to church. There are people in this world who don't have a church. There are people in this world who don't have a scrap of scripture in their own native language. They are on the wrong side of the gate. They have no access to God. They cannot walk with God, work with God, worship with God. They have nothing. And we have Bibles for a buck in America. We've lost our excitement. We've lost our leaping. We've lost our praise. We've lost it. If you'll let God strengthen you today, my brothers and sisters, you'll walk with Him like never before. You'll worship Him so sweetly, and you'll work for Him. Look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. What a witness. What a witness. His testimony could not be denied. His testimony could not be passed off. His excitement attracted the attention of others. And the Bible says that we're to glorify our Father in heaven. This is how we do this. We live a life of good works and praise. Why? Because it brings others attention. It could not be denied. Verse 11, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now listen, miracles have three purposes, and just three purposes. Number one, it takes care of the immediate physical need at hand. The second reason that God works miracles is to reveal Christ's power to save. And number three, it's to confirm God's word, to authenticate the message of the gospel. When we pray for people to be healed, you know, we're not doing it so they can live here forever and just, you know. We pray that God's glory will be revealed so that lost people will come to Christ. Do you know how good heaven is? No, you don't. Why? Because I don't either. All I know is the Bible says that eye hath not seen. That means you haven't seen how cool it is, how awesome it is. And ear has not heard. You've never talked to somebody who knew how awesome it was. And neither has entered into the heart of man. That means, and my imagination is big, right? I have big imaginations. That means you've never imagined how awesome heaven is. So if heaven's that awesome, why do we pray to keep people out of it? Why do we spend so much time praying to keep people out of heaven? Heaven is so awesome, which I believe it is. It's better than this place on the best day. Your best day fishing will still not compare at all to your worst day in heaven. There is no worst day in heaven. No, we pray for healing so that lost people will see the glory of God, so that you will have an opportunity to say, look what God did. I prayed. You say, well, I pray for lost people that they'll get healed. Good. And then then you go and tell them, I've been praying for you. I'm praying God would heal you. God would show himself powerful. You realize there's lost doctors and nurses and radiology techs and LPNs and why even the food service people who need to see a miracle to believe. So let me ask you a question. What's it going to take for you to believe? What miracle is it going to take for you to believe God? What's it going to take? Is it going to take somebody getting healed? Is it going to take God working in your life? Is it going to take God taking something out of your way so you can see Him? What's it going to take? For these people in the temple, it took a lame beggar who they'd ignored for decades to leap up. Get excited about worshiping God. What if we just got excited about worshiping God? What if we just got excited about our walk with God? Well, how many people would come to Christ through that? So Peter, he stands up and he preaches again. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it and answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. There's our message. Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life. You guys killed him, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Once again, brothers and sisters, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. The healing of this man was to authenticate Peter's message of the gospel. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. You know, the truth is, if we could open up the pit of hell below us, and we could dangle anybody you want, pick the toughest atheist you know, and dangle him over the pit of hell for just a few seconds, and they'd go, oh, I didn't realize. When people deny Christ, it's because they don't realize the reality of it. They just don't understand. And that's why we're not to hate people. That's why we're not to be hateful to people. They just ignorantly don't understand. Like a child walking up and sticking a key in an electrical socket. They just don't understand. Like teenagers playing chicken with a train. They just don't understand. There is an expiration date. There is an expiration date on the promise of God. If you die without Jesus Christ, the door to heaven is shut to you. It's the one sin that you commit that cannot be forgiven, is to die without Jesus. How long has it been, brothers and sisters, since we got that excited, since we shared the gospel, since we, with a tear in our eye, cared about those who oppose themselves? This one man, he was normal in every way except that one area of weakness. What's your area of weakness? What's that area that you need strength? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe some of you are here today or on the wrong side of the gate because you've yet to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I do a lot of funerals for people. And I bury them from infant to teenager, adolescent to old age. I bury them. Death is no respecter of person. You are not guaranteed to tomorrow. You aren't guaranteed tomorrow. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. Are you on the wrong side of the gate? Every head bowed and every eye closed. This is real stuff now. This is not, I'm not just trying to be dramatic. This is real. If you died today, what is it you're trusting in to get you to heaven? None of us are good. None of us are righteous in and of ourselves. It's the righteousness of Christ that gets imparted to us, imputed to us, credited to us when we trust His Son as our Savior, when we repent, believe, and receive. It's time we open the gate. You're saved and you know it. Let's come talk to God about that area that you and He know about. Our Father and our God, we love you. The next few moments, speak. Speak as only you can. Father, please present, convict, convince, and we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open, brothers and sisters. It's time to do business with God.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're
all of us, all of us are that lame beggar at the gate in some area of our life. Every one of us. Every one of us are in sad need of strength, of God's grace. Won't you come and receive it today? God is looking. God sees you. He loves you. He's offering you His strength. Come, come, brothers and sisters.
My righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Your sin runs deep. Your grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall.
Anybody else? You need somebody to pray with. You need help, or you need healing. You need restoration. You finances or relationships. Let me pray with you. Let's go to the Lord. Let's talk to Him. Let's find that strength that He offered this lame beggar. It's ours too to have if we'll just ask.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Lord, I sing it with her.
Oh, I need you.
Can you honestly say that?
Every
can you lay down your pride and just be honest with God? Can you be honest? I need you.
My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Our Father and our God, we love you. And Father, were it not for Christ, oh God, we'd be lost. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word, which is perfect and true. Thank you for it, God. We look to you, God, for strength. For we're just nothing without you. God bless now as we go our separate ways. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house and worship today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we have